I know you. Let me get somebody back. Yes.
So we talked about the resentment versus the aesthetic side, and it was one Instagram for the resentment. My question is, when we do the resentment, will this help resolve the problem that we currently have, where we have invasive trees and shrubs, and we have this visual mess along the waterfront? Will the resentment help to clear up that all those invasive trees that aren't being maintained?
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I don't spend enough time down there to know exactly where, you know, what invasive trees are where, but for sure this is going to basically redo everything up near that rock, and it's going to be from about the edge of what's mowed presently out towards the bay. Everything from there out is basically going to be redone. And the sidewalk will be approximately where that mowed grass line is. And that's approximate. I mean,
that's going to be... Just the sidewalk. My question is, if we just get the funding for the investment, will it be easier to maintain that shore's edge than
yes, and I don't want to speak for the city's maintenance department, but I think it definitely will be, because they're not going to be trying to mow next to a 2-foot scarp. And so they should be able to mow quite closely. And they also won't have loose pieces of riprap that are just kind of laying all over the place. And, yes, sir?
Assuming we get the Army Corps of Engineers permit in a 12-month period or however long, how long a period of time is that permit good for in order to raise funds to do the project? Or is there an expiration?
There is an expiration on them. Off the top of my head, I can't recall if it's a 3-year or 5-year expiration, but you can renew those permits as long as you get them renewed before the expiration. They'll typically allow you to renew at least once or twice. If you try and go back and renew, you know, 4 or 5 times, they're probably going to say, look, you know, this is no longer valid, but at least 1 or 2 renewals is almost always approved. Yes, sir.
On the super steps, is there any ADA compliance requirements for those? If you look at the ones down
Corpus?
Well, not well, Portland Place. But anyway, several of the places that have been done, yeah, they have a small section of steps. With what you've got there, with, you know, looks like, the yacht club people out sailing, those could be utilized for emergency exit for somebody on a sailfish or an oxy or something that comes up. Is that something that...
It'll be pretty shallow. They are... we will have rock in front of them at the toe of them to help, again, keep them from getting undermined. But you can see, where's this section?
Well, I've seen your cross section, but I was wondering, you know, if and I'm just looking at it because that's a park, and you know, when you open it up or something like that, there'll be a lot more people utilizing the facility. And get more people down there, it's getting more accidents.
ADA accessibility is a good question. We will probably have to take this to a accessibility consultant to get a review on it and assess that. I've had projects that are similar in nature, and the opinion that has come back is that if you're not providing access to some facility, that these types of structures would not have to be ADA compliant. If we did have to do ADA compliance, I'm not sure that we could accommodate that with this type of design. It would be very difficult.
If we provided 15-inch and 5.5-inch risers, if we provided steps, then you very well might have to address ADA. Our experience with the big
in terms of the water depths here, it doesn't show up real well. The screen's maybe a little too bright, but here would be a normal high tide right around the top or bottommost step. A normal low tide would be around the toe of this. So this is not really, you know, something that's going to be water access.
Okay. Well, a couple of things we can control. We can specify a route for trucks, and we can identify, you know, if there's roads, and I know a lot of the roads have been redone. I don't live here, so I don't know which ones, but we can, if we can find an appropriate route that minimizes, you know, putting them on old roads or new roads, whichever the philosophy is, we can do that. The second thing we can do is the Shore Acres Police can definitely weigh trucks and make sure that they're complying with you know, weight requirements. And in general, you write a couple of tickets for people who are overweight, and that takes care of that issue. So, and then the third thing is we can, to an extent, stipulate that if the contractor causes damage to the roads, that you know, they're liable to repair those. That's honestly a bit tough to enforce because then you get into questions as to, you know, was the condition of the road, was it well designed, et cetera, et cetera. But that is, you know, one other avenue. Yes, sir.
I didn't come up with this question until just now. How far from the shoreline out do you have to go before you get 10 foot of grass?
A long way.
Okay. My original question then, I know by sad experience that the height or the elevation at the pier is 7.2 inches. So that means it's sort of from the shoreline, that's gonna go out 21 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 21 feet, and the toe of the existing toe is between about -2 and -4. So, yeah.
What's
that,
the highest elevation?
It actually, some of the spot elevations came in pretty close to 10, mostly around 9, 9.5, and again, like you said, coming down to about 7, and I think maybe some high sixes towards the fishing pier.
When you tear out the rock that's there, where does it go?
We will basically give that to the contractors. Part of their contract will be to dispose of that or recycle it. There is a market for concrete, recycling concrete. At best, we can hope that they'll haul it off for free probably, but we will encourage that to be recycled.
Considering the cost and I think the city's region's successful in being able to obtain grant, how long do you think perhaps the project could be built?
Well, best case, if you know, we were able to get the grants lined up over, say, the next 12 months and be able to, you know, start work once we get the permit, the construction period on this is probably going to be on the order of about 3 to 4 months. So that's the best case scenario. Realistically, it's really hard to say. There is some money that's coming from some of the Gulf oil spill effects from BP and some of their damage assessments, and that's a pretty big piece of money. I haven't closely followed all the ins and outs of that. I think parts of it are going to be dedicated to the county. I think we have a better chance getting money that's dedicated to Harris County because we're one of the few coastal areas of Harris County or shorelines of Harris County, and one of the few that's, you know, public and not private property. So, and you know, that's probably one of our better chances at it. that's probably reasonable. I mean, it's really hard to say. It could be very quick. It could take a long time. Yes, sir. We'll make sure there'll be no blockage of anybody's property. As to whether the contractor chooses to build from the north end, the south end, the middle out, my gut feel is they'll probably start on the south end and work their way north. But that's again something that we typically wouldn't specify unless the contractor chooses. That's usually not part of the Corps of Engineers permit. That is usually part of a local construction permit, and that is definitely something that we can put into the specifications for the project. I would not really encourage limiting to a 5-day work week. Just because that's going to extend the total construction duration, and it's going to substantially increase the cost because these contractors are used to working, you know, 6 and 7 day weeks. So I probably wouldn't encourage that. But you know, certainly daylight hour restrictions are quite common.
For Shell Beach, you said you were spending another 50 foot. So what can be done? Remove everything that's there?
Basically take out the concrete riprap that's there, and at that south end, when we expand the beach, we will have to bring some sand in. We could look to bring in shell hash, but I don't know where you buy shell hash. We'll probably bring in good quality sand and add that for the northern, you know, 50 to 100 feet. We are not planning to do anything on the, you know, already sandy shell part of Shell Beach. There may be a little bit of regrading at the top just to make it a little bit nicer. There's a couple little scars there now, but no major changes to that. This closer end of Shell Beach.
What would be done for
the the nice thing about the shore here, maybe. Basically, the jetties are breakwaters of the yacht club. Basically, block all the waves that are coming from the south, which is, you know, pretty much what we have all summer long. But they don't block when the north winds, the cold fronts come in, and the waves come, you know, from the north. So what that means is basically the waves come out of the north, they push sand here. But there's no mechanism to push the sand back to the north. So it's basically a sediment trap. And that's probably the only reason that beach has stayed there as well as it has, with all the subsidence and the ship weight and everything else. It you know, forms its own little pocket.
That's on the yacht club side. What about the tank
system? Well, the structure, the giant step structure actually serves as that transition. So, and it won't really be a sand capturing structure, but it will be the transition between the two. So there won't be a open revetment right next to the beach. It will be the super step. We're not planning to put a bulkhead behind it. We think for that short distance it will still be relatively stable. It may be something that after an event like ice may require bringing some sand back in. The good thing is once you establish something like that, you have the permits for it, as long as you're very proactive in maintaining something and not letting it, you know, become derelict,
then you can, as an emergency measure, come back after a storm and repair it.
I think from experience, if the riprap that was there before Adam, part of the problem, because when the storm came back, it picked up that riprap from the small rebar out of it, and it wanted to back up and into our house, not our house, and it brought the rest of the way. If you've done this, you've done away with that. If the sand goes away, you can replace that. The sand comes up and it's outside the sand, but if three pieces of acid can't be placed red, it washed up because you got to see the surge if it will be out.
You know, the survey, the more recent survey that we've taken, and the aerial photos and such not, don't really show that there. I realized I was down here the day after the storm. I had a boat that was sitting in the parking lot up here, so I know, you know, what it looked like down here. I'm not saying that there wasn't erosion at that time, but the net change in that shore position has not really changed since pre-ice. Trying to go back further beyond that, and even at this point, you know, five, almost 6 years later now, trying to go back and say this is what it was like 6 years ago is going to be very difficult. Trying to go back further in time and say this was like in 1975 or 1925 is we're just fighting an uphill battle to try and do that.
This may have been discussed in earlier meetings, but my question is, if we do move forward with this plan and we apply for these grants to have this park put in, would it be considered a public park, and therefore every time you get online and Google or your phone and say, I need a nearby park, it's going to take people to our park in Shore Acres? Kind of what happened to Shell Beach. Shell Beach used to be a little private park, and then one day you were down there and people said, yeah, we're confused to be just Google Beaches, but it's good here to Shell Beach. And I don't mean to be a snob, but I want it to be our little beach.
Well,
so that's, I don't know, because of the grant funding, it has to become public.
Well, it is public now. It is a public park, and J.O. or others from the city can address, you know, probably better than I can what that means. But it is a public park. It has always been a public park. It will remain a public park. We were very cognizant of the fact that, and I think this is some of the things that the plan 10 years ago or the initial planning 10 years ago maybe really raised people's eyebrows to think we were going to try and build a new Sylvan Beach and bring, you know, 3,000 people down here on Saturday afternoon. We certainly understood that, and that's why we tried very hard to scale things to an appropriate scale for the community here. That said, I can tell you that I'm sure if any agency provides grant money, they're going to put out press releases. You know, we don't necessarily have to encourage that, but you know, they're going to want to get their publicity for putting the money in. In terms of, you know, getting publicity on the internet or whatnot, that's, I guess, the modern world and you know, things. Everybody has their smartphone now, and I don't know that we can change that. But we're not changing the fact that it's a public park now, and it will remain so.
People are usually disappointed when they show up in Shell Beach.
My name is Michael Schnell. I've been in this community for 50 years. Very near and dear to my heart. One of the biggest things about putting the advisory committee together that we all agreed on was the fact that we do not want to make it something like a Sylvan Beach. We want to keep it where it is. Our citizens that are in the city can enjoy it. That is one of the reasons that there wasn't a huge push on trying to add a bunch of parking. If you don't have parking and you can't can't park on the side of the road, and the police will come up and write tickets to people that are doing that, then it minimizes the amount of people that actually show up. Maybe in the initial, because it's all new, people want to see it, it's really going to be free. Somebody might show up, give out a couple of tickets, and they go, you know, short answers, man, we can go to Civil Beach, we can hang out there and fish all day, we don't have any problems. So that was one of the things as the advisory committee that we really discussed. It's very important to us, and one reason it was all put together is because we're all from this team. Like I said, I've been here 50 years, it's very dear and dear to me. I've learned how to swim on children, so, you know, it was very important that we moved that direction. I just want to put my 2 cents worth in. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
the shading devices for the platforms. What are they made of? Are they going to go over here first?
Yeah. The shade structures, our vision is they're hot dip galvanized steel. They're steel structures.
Okay. The actual shade?
The curved sail-like pieces, yeah. They're galvanized. Roll steel. They'll be structured by a structural engineer with columns of X diameter.
So I won't see them in my front yard.
I don't think so unless a barge or a tugboat, you know, comes ashore.
I'll address that a little bit more. I'm not a structural engineer either. I am a civil engineer, but we do have structural engineers who will do the final design on those. They will be according to the code, which I believe is IBC for the City of Shore Acres, and ASCE's wind requirements, which off the top of my head, I'm pretty sure 135 miles per hour for this site. So that's a pretty substantial, and they'll be designed to withstand that.